Okay.
All right.
I would
Hello,
like to
everybody.
learn
Welcome
more.
back to Homeschool, the podcast where me and Andrew Rivers do monologue jokes with a guest who laughs and listens and chimes in and has fun with us. And then we BS about life and what's going on in the world and comedy. This week, our guest is our good buddy, Brent James Driscoll. Give him a round of applause, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Yay.
Yeah. Hey, there's no connection to Mark Driscoll, is there?
No, Jesus. I get asked that all the time.
Oh, man. I just listened to that podcast top to bottom. It is insane, but I already knew all about that guy. He's the worst.
Are you a top or bottom?
This is a good... Let's forget that top five podcast. Just let's focus on ours. Brent's a phenomenal filmmaker and a great person and pretty solid golfer. He's what do you call it? You're producing his special? Not producing it.
He filmed it and
editing
directed
it, filming
and,
it, and
don't get
it.
It. I guess Andrew would be a executive producer and I would be a producer of it, but
yeah,
executive producer is the money, so yeah,
that's the person we let them think they know what they're doing.
Just that's fine.
We pander to them a lot.
Unlike most of them, I don't know what I'm doing, you just do it.
Yeah, Andrew was the best executive producer I ever worked with because I just said, hey, can I do this? And he just said, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah,
the whole time, just pretty much anything. He didn't disagree.
That's phenomenal. Well, he's a good man and an even gooder comic. So I didn't want to roast him. So what do you got
really
coming
got
up?
Stuck
you're
down
also
on a limb there.
Taking my comedy class, which is a very bad decision, but great for me. And we got a show coming up, the three of us plus some more people.
Yeah.
October 19th. Brent's going to be doing stand-up. Now, this is your very first time doing a non-open mic, or am I way off here?
Yeah, my first time doing a non-open mic.
Yeah, okay.
I've done a hell of a lot of moth stories. I used to
That's right.
I used to be like one of the hosts for the moth here in town. They do it twice a month. And the venue I worked at, the Fremont Abbey, had them. And that's how I kind of got the idea. I wanted to do stand-up because, like a lot of people's stories, I think people told me, like, oh, you're funny, you should do stand-up. It's like, okay, it's like saying you're a good cook, you should be a chef. That's some stupid shit, right? So I just did a few, I'd always been a musician, so I've entertained crowds with, like, you know, a guitar in my hand, but the idea of going up and defending your opinions to people in a funny way is terrifying. So I did some moth stories.
But after watching me for a long time, you were like, this can't be that difficult.
Yeah, we did that live stream, the three of us, back in April, and I was like, well, that looks easy, so I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
But I've always just loved it. I mean, I've gone to laughs a ton of times. And before the pandemic started with my Fremont Abbey, I was starting to book a lot of comedians and trying to get people in there. Andrew was one of them that was supposed to come up, and then the pandemic hit. But I was trying to turn the Abbey into like a legit comedy venue in Seattle because it's like 250 capacity. We have a downstairs that's 230 capacity, another venue that's 260 capacity. I was like, Jesus, we could do a lot of comedy here. So I was always going to Laughs and Comedy Underground and Tacoma Comedy Club and trying to like headhunt and find people.
Well, this is great. We're going to have to. Okay. So when this is all over, we're going to have to do that again. And, help you. I don't even need help, but like we'll do a show there, three of us.
Yeah, I mean, how did this you were supposed to pay me and then I ended up paying you, so you
that's how I get people. Yeah,
the greatest trick the devil ever pulled.
That was great headhunting. You got him, but you got head. Andrew, what do you got coming up? Your album coming out, obviously.
Yeah, the album release October 19th. Actually a week from today on the 12th, it'll be Pandora and Spotify. I think Pandora, yeah. Sirius. And then, yeah. Anyway, October 19th is the one you got to care about. Laugh Camp Comedy Club in St. Paul, Minnesota, 22 and 23. They finally put me on the website and, Corey's not there yet. So we'll, wait to see what happens. Corey and I, Portland to Eugene and Bend, Oregon in December. So be on the lookout for that stuff.
Those are all my old stopping grounds. I lived in all three of those cities.
Okay, well, we'll need some.
Well, get funny enough, and we can use you as an opener.
There you go. Next Thursday, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and that's the only thing that. Oh, and in October 22nd, 23rd in Boise, Idaho. Those are two things that I'm doing on my own. So come to those, and if Laugh Camp doesn't, if they close, I didn't put any ads into that, so no problem. Hey, let's get to the jokes, but first, a 3-second pause because I don't know how to edit things. I need Brent's help.
All right. Hey, welcome to Homeschool episode number 62. Bad news for people doing their own vaccine research. Facebook and Instagram were down for most of the day yesterday. As a result, millions of people were informed, and girls felt happy with their bodies, and my grandma's cap lock ski finally got a break.
Oh, I thought that thing was stuck down. Your grandma, that is. it's been a year and a half. How much more research do people need? I don't.
Well, they're still doing research on the swine flu vaccine. That's why they're in the barn taking ivermectin.
Okay, I see. Well, I've been doing some of my own research, and it turns out that Harry Styles' song, Watermelon Sugar, is about the female orgasm. It won't change the way I listen to the song on mute.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the phrase doing my own research, it sounds like code for masturbating, you know, especially when you're talking about a Harry Styles video. But when I was a kid, my mom used to barge in my room while I was doing my own research, you know.
Well, I prefer a peer-reviewed study myself.
It's okay. I wish I could get a lab partner, but here's something to do some research on. New York's largest healthcare provider fired 1,400 people for refusing to get the vaccine after the mandate, which is out of 76,000. So it turns out only 2% of people will actually quit their job and refuse to get vaccinated.
Well, that's nice of you to say people instead of entitled white women, but, you know, it's pretty similar to all those people who were going to move to Canada when Trump got elected. They're full of it.
Yeah.
Also full of it, your album comes out next week, right? That ought to make some people leave the country.
Well, moving to Canada won't help. It's Pandora exclusive for a week, and then worldwide October 19th. So look out, Weird Al. I'm coming for that top spot.
Oh, Pandora and Spotify, seems like you're ready for release day. But it's going to be hard to take that top spot. R. Kelly just got convicted, and his songs are still super, I don't know about vaccinated, but
he's poking.
His songs are still, regardless, his songs are still popular on TikTok and Spotify. Like, I don't know if you're going to catch.
Well, yeah, R. Kelly was always a number one streaming artist, so.
Oh, that joke is golden. Why are
like
they
the shower
worldwide? What, you're huge in Canada? I mean, that's only dick size, though.
Well, and Cambodia. But speaking of tiny dicks, Corey, how is your OnlyFans going?
Well, my OnlyFan is sending me $50 in weekly installments for my penis. I guess he's balling on a budget. I thought he could afford it this whole time.
Sounds like he's giving you just the tip. But, you know, it's nice to hear that your former students are doing well. Things are going well. I'm down here in California getting in some good quality time with my brother. We actually smoked weed together for the first time. It was a nice bonding experience. Real sticky, icky bonding.
Okay. Really bonding. Really sticky.
We're stuck together. Okay.
Hang on a second. I'm going to ask Brent to unmute himself. Wow. Your brother makes
pause for laughter.
Bell commercials. I thought he'd already be smoking a bunch, to be honest.
Well, he's always been into crystals, and so I feel like weed was the natural next step, you know? Plus, weed actually works. Yeah. But we tried this strain called OG Kobe Kush, and let me tell you, we got so high, and then we crashed.
There we go.
Oh, we got him finally.
Speaking of crash and burn.
Oh, fuck.
Kobe, burn Kobe beef. Isn't that what it was about? Oh, it was a Kobe Bryant. How did your sets go?
Well done on the joke and the steak. But yeah, my sets also crashed and burned. Were you there? How did you describe it so accurately?
Well, just a guess, but also a police officer showed me pictures in a bar once. So what happened? I let you open for me at this club. Then you take my good name and my referral and you bomb? Is this because I love Jackie Brown and use a taser on you in the green room?
Yeah, well, I know me having a bad set is a shocker, but I didn't promote it because I remember it not being great when I was there last time, and they didn't strike me as the type of people to win the pandemic. So I actually told my brother and a bunch of friends to not come to this show, thankfully.
Oh. Wow, you're a reverse draw. Hey, clubs, book Andrew Rivers, and you'll lose ticket sales. What'd you bomb so badly for? What are you going to blame the audience or what do we?
Yeah, absolutely blame the audience. But in my defense, I was right. You know, I mean, even the guitar comic was bombing. That's how you know it was bad.
Oh, wow. That is a rough crowd. Did he at least try a Spirit Airlines joke? I mean,
of course he did. Spirit Airlines, gender reveal parties, nothing.
Well, don't feel bad. I bombed for 20 people in the basement of a church. There are just some things Jesus can't save.
Oh, wow. You also, are going to hell for that.
Also, when I typed that out in the jokes, autocorrect tried to change it to I bombed 20 people. And honestly, I think they would have preferred that.
Yeah, death. It's a sweet release.
You're a little outside that demographic of people that do that, the churches. You got to be a little younger for that.
Maybe. Cool church. Well, you know, we make fun of each other all the time about this stuff, but you're selling out theaters. You got millions of fake views on the internet. Doesn't this gig seem a little bit beneath you?
Yeah, but I mean, it paid for the plane ticket and family is important to me. And I'll do anything to get someone beneath me anyway, right now, anyway.
Wow, so you only visit your family if it's profitable? I guess. Yes. I mean, listen, comedy. Oh, okay. Comedy's never going to love you back, Andrew.
That's why he's making money, so he can get someone beneath him.
Comedy's not going to fill your heart. You should prioritize the things that matter.
Well, my career matters also. You know, I'm very driven.
Ah, yeah. You've driven anyone away who's ever loved you. So,
including Brett. He just left the podcast.
He's about to leave. Okay.
It's my last time. It's a good time to do it.
We were joking that people leave when we were doing the joke.
I've never seen anyone actually. 62 episodes, that's how long it takes to walk someone.
I have this little flatter on my camera. I can just do this eventually.
Oh, perfect. Oh,
okay. That's great. Pretty fun.
Well, I hope it's not too late to turn things around. I think I'd be a good parent someday. You know, I've never lost my cell phone.
Okay, but I think the real question is how many times have you cracked the screen?
Hey, only once.
Okay. Well, you don't put a cover on it. You're just gonna walk it around willy nilly with your baby. No baby Bjorn. Trust your own strength. Seems like a bad idea.
I don't know Bjorn's song, but there's a reference in there somewhere.
Bjork.
Bjork. There you go.
Well, once isn't bad, I guess. You were dropped hundreds of times.
Bjorn. Do you get that at IKEA? Is that one of their
I get
couches?
A baby Bjorn at IKEA.
Sorry, but I gotta say the only way Andrew could have been dropped is if he was actually held.
I like that joke. I like that. That's fun.
You turned out
and
fine.
Also
kinda.
I'm not okay. Well, kids are invincible. I mean, you ever been to a children's soccer game? Are you allowed near parks? They get hit in the face with the ball, it doesn't matter. They just keep going.
Well, yeah, kids soccer games are pretty similar to pro sports. The players are spoiled babies who complain about everything, and everyone in the stands is super drunk.
Mm. Speaking of hanging with a baby.
Don't hang a baby.
you're touring with Brad Upton. Your comedy career is a baby compared to his. Why don't you just make your own way instead of riding someone else's coattails? By the way, I'll be on tour with Steve Hofstetter for the month of November.
So. Oh, okay. All right. Well, they're just such lovely pinstripe JCPenney coattails. They're real hard to resist. Plus, got a good following. He's funny. Lets me stay in his hotel room. And I only had to wait in the lobby for like 10 minutes, if you know what I mean.
Ooh, he was jerking off. I saw you're in room 420. Up in the clouds there.
Yeah, well, it was a weird joint. People keep stealing the real sign, so they left this very blunt note telling people to not do that anymore. I think they're planning on just renaming it 419.5. It was good. I guess this is the bad luck you get when you decide to have a 13th floor in a hotel.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of some guy down on his luck, Joe Rogan said that they gave Biden a fake booster shot because they didn't want him to keel over on television.
I mean, even if Joe Biden keels over, I'm not going to blame the vaccine. That could just be natural causes.
Like the wind. Yeah, natural causes. But hey, more good COVID news. Pharmaceutical company Merck is coming out with a new pill that if you take within the first few days of getting COVID, may cut your chances of dying by 50%.
How do they get the people for these studies? Hey, man, go get COVID. We want to see if this pill stops you from dying.
Well, Merck also makes ivermectin, so no wonder they don't want people taking that stuff. It's too cheap. We need money for new pills or something, probably.
Yeah, we got this new pill.
We got this new pill.
This one works. A lot more
expensive. This one is great. This other one.
Well, it's not hard to find that group of people to take the pills because we all know the conservative people that are against vaccines love taking pills.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, they're popping pills.
Popping pills.
I want girls to be on the pill, and if she's my main bitch and I'm in a stable relationship, then she definitely is.
Nay on that joke, but
well, before we get to our guest, I just want to try something. luggage. Just whispering into my phone so I get more ads on that. I need a suitcase.
Oh, planning on leaving abandoning your family behind again? isn't this the same thing as manifesting?
My son found
me, so yeah, time to go. Is that the same as manifesting?
Nah, it's called your phone is spying on you.
Oh, well, in that case, bad bitch and $1 million. Bad bitch and $1 million. Hey, what if people who think they manifest things out loud are really just talking to their phone, you know?
That could be something. Probably something into that. We need to fix this global warming problem. The next day, the phone shows them AC units or whatever.
Hey, speaking of blowing, for holiday parties, the CDC says that using a window fan is advisable. Why are we getting this information a year and a half later? This is proof that teaching abstinence never works.
Yeah, just a nice little fan for that chill, that warm winter air. We don't have a fan. Not a big deal at my family parties, though, because our uncle is doing all the blowing every Christmas.
Oh.
We all have a gay uncle.
Well, our next guest looks like a gay uncle, but we should stop making fun of him because he's had to stare at my face more than anyone, and he deserves our sympathy. Brent James Driscoll, everybody, makes noise.
BJD.
I like the question mark at the end of that. That was good.
Well, it was
oh yeah, did you kill a president? Why do you, what's the three names?
So Brent Driscoll is the CEO of Cutco Knives, so I can't that biggest Ponzi scheme of all time. James Driscoll is a professional golfer, and that's just a slap in the face because I know I'll never be. And I used to make fun of people for using their middle names. I used to think it was really pompous. So it's just really good karma for me to have to do that. So I've always had to go by Brent James Driscoll because.
Well, yeah, look me up, Andrew J. Rivers on everything.
Well, that's fun.
He's using the middle initial, though. I mean.
Yeah. Donald J. Trump, me and my idol.
Yeah. Well, you're a funny guy. You're taking the comedy class, and I've only heard one attempt at your set, but I'm like, oh, that'll be good for the show for sure. And you've seen a lot of comedy, like we were talking about. You've seen too much of Andrew's comedy, and you still agreed to be in our podcast. So we're really happy to have you.
Yeah, luckily I was asked like with a lot of time, so I could really block this out.
So very good at planning in advance. And
well, we've had three people cancel on us this week. So, you know, it's not that you weren't our first choice. You were on the list. We just wanted to wait until we
love being a third runner up. It makes me happy. It's okay.
We thought we'd have you next Tuesday, the 12th, you know, the date of Andrew's release of his album. It'd just be a perfect little, but we'll have you a week early and, you know, and talk about it a little bit. How'd you get into the filmmaking? That's a dumb way to ask a question. What's the best film you've ever made?
Best film I've ever made.
It's called For the Wrong Reasons by Andrew Rivers.
Yeah, it's called Up Close and Personal. It was a short film for my friend's OnlyFans. The best film I haven't done narrative like I want yet, so
I want to go down that black hole.
I want to do short films and all that stuff, but that's just like that's the hard thing to get into, because, you know, like if you do a feature film, it takes on average 3 to 5 years. A short film can take a year to 2 years of your life, and I'm not patient enough for that. So I've done a lot of music videos, dance films, you know, things like that. My favorite one probably is one I'm working on right now. It's not Andrew's special. It's a music video for a girl named Lauren Herzer. It's going to be really fucking good. And then a music video I shot and finished last October, and it's still not out because the artist keeps flip-flopping on what he wants, but it's shot exactly how I wanted, and it turned out even better than I could have hoped. So it's just a short music video, but it's just it's fucking gorgeous. I'm really excited to put it out.
That's great. Love it. Well, yeah, I mean, the stuff that's gorgeous is much more fun to do, so that's why you didn't name Andrews. I get it.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Boy. Oh, God.
Andrews looks good. It looks pretty fucking good. You know what? It's the best comedy special I've ever shot.
Hey, wow, what an honor. One of one exclusive company.
Well, technically, I shot two nights in a row with you, so the second night is better.
That's true. Yeah.
There you go.
It was funny. So my brother is a director, and I planned on showing him the second cut, but then I was like, there's no way I'm going to get it in time,
because
I was following your schedule. But it's interesting to me to, we watched it. We watched a half at a time, but it's interesting to watch someone watch me. I don't know if you've ever like sat next to someone while they're watching like a film you've done or a project you've done.
Yep. Every time I edit, usually. Yep. At the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, at the end. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah. I guess, client review or something like that?
Yeah. We talked about that. Like, you'd sit next to me at the very end and we'd go through all of it.
I see. But I just didn't want to be in the same room with you. Yeah,
have you had someone that have you had someone that's not?
Oh,
have you
yeah.
have you watched a film of yours with like someone
besides like love, a girlfriend or like yeah.
Or a client? Yeah, absolutely.
Besides a client that's watching it with you and you're going annoying. Like,
yeah, and nope.
You see what I did there?
It's funny because, like, you know, I'll hope that they call out moments or shots that I like a lot, and then they'll and they'll end up calling out like a flaw that I didn't see. So I'm not friends with those people anymore.
That's literally, you know,
Andrew's
brother is
like, why'd you say that?
Well, thankfully he laughed at almost every joke got a laugh at some point, you know, not every punchline, but that's fair.
Yeah.
He likes comedy. I mean, his favorite comic is Chris D'Elia, though. So, you know. But.
Bill, huh? All right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's not perfect, but I don't make any goofy faces or anything. So I'm not technically a good comedian. But
well, for fun, he does go to children's soccer games. So, I mean, maybe there's a lot in common with D'Elia.
I informed him of the allegations, and he was kind of like, well, you know, everyone makes mistakes. And I'm like,
quick
side all right.
On that, though, my girlfriend's best friend's claim to fame is that she sucked his dick when he came through Eugene, Oregon.
How old is your friend?
I don't even know how old her best friend was at the time, but like early 20s. So when the allegations came out, I had to text my ex-girlfriend at the time and just be like, so what does she think of it now?
Yeah, I mean,
and evidently he was frustrated that she didn't want to have sex with him. And but he didn't get like pushy, evidently. He just said, like, oh, if we're not gonna fuck, then you can leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that. Which that makes
seems to be
par for the
hey. But yeah, it's pretty good. His review was good. What was I gonna say? Well, yeah, it was just he called out little things that like this audience member is annoying, mute that, and he had ideas in terms of like, well, he the biggest compliment he gave you was that the editing was magnificent because he didn't notice anything wrong with it. And so that's what you aim for, right? Is that
that's exactly what I was aiming for. Yes.
Yeah. If he, the, it's kind of like a offensive tackle in football. It's like, look, if you don't notice him, he's doing his job. So
there's a rule hitting that kind of stuff where like the edit should never get in the way of the performance. Right.
Yeah. That's funny.
The way I was cutting it and like your first notes, I was like, fuck, like he's like, he's calling out things, and I'm like, I was hoping the edit didn't get in the way of that. And then your brother's notes, I'm like, see, this guy's reasonable. Like,
yeah.
Which was great.
Well, so it was funny. So then we, there's one joke that doesn't really do well on the special, besides all of it. But it's like the NBA full size crowds and the racist team name, whatever, and. So I watched my brother watching this thing, and the whole time I'm like, this is, I know the writing is good. It's good. I don't know why it just doesn't work. And so I watched my brother watch it, and he goes, Redskins. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the reaction that it's getting from him. He's like, I get it. Which is like not what you want. You know, you want someone to go, clever.
It's like when you say something funny to someone and set them laughing, they go, that's funny.
Yeah, exactly. So that was pretty interesting, I thought. But yeah, he was also it's also cool because like, you know, he has an Instagram and stuff. He barely uses it, doesn't check it, deletes it off his phone every other week. And so like, sometimes I'm like, and also this could be like a little brother inferiority complex, but I'm always like, no, I'm really good. Like, I want you to, I don't want you to think that I'm like, I mean, you know, I'm poor as shit, but I'm doing okay, you know? And so it was nice to have him have some faith in me. And, you know, I wouldn't want to sit and watch it with Corey because he'd just fall asleep probably in the middle of it. But,
oh, sorry, I fell asleep during that.
Yeah,
story.
Yeah. I imagined that's, but yes.
You have to feel like a little better as a brother. That's good. Believe it or not, I've watched pretty much everything on your YouTube before I ever got into the project. And I was like, well, my number one goal was to just make this at least 5 times better quality than anything else you've had.
Yeah.
So that was my goal. And obviously the crowd cam shot was not what I wanted.
We can fix that. I mean, even my brother was like, dude, go to stock footage or go to
The first night shots, they look fucking great. They're cool. And the couple it's kind of centered on, they laugh like the whole time at everything.
Great.
They even laugh at stuff. You know, so
my stuff?
Yeah, they laugh at
forgiving.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I mean, it was fun, you know, and I think I got told, you know, I couldn't put cameras in places that I wanted in the beginning. And I had to like kind of maneuver around. And then also as someone who has to shoot something live, which I've done a lot, you know, you have to fight for what you need. Right. So like they didn't want me to put that camera center and take up those seats. And I was trying really hard to just fight for what I needed. So I think I got the shots that I wanted. The angles are good. I was really happy that I shot it because I've edited a lot of stuff that people have shot live. And I just like end up hating the camera operator. I'm like, Jesus, dude, like do better. So in my own vanity, I'm like, yeah, I fucking killed it. I did a great job.
Yeah. And you didn't even fuck up the lights on this one. So that was pretty good.
Oh yeah. He's going to call that out. Of course. Yeah. That's.
Well, the other thing that was interesting was like, sometimes my brother wouldn't laugh until he heard the audience laugh at it, which was interesting. Cause there's a thing about laughter being contagious that we're not exactly like, I don't know if there's any scientific explanation.
Oh, that's
the
spot
there.
I'm supposed to. All right.
Yeah.
But it was like almost the audience's reaction makes him laugh.
Yeah.
Or like he kind of gets it even more. Like he goes, hey, yeah, yeah. And then he hears everyone else dying and he's kind of like, yeah, you know, and I don't know. I just find that peculiar, you know.
Watching on a video screen of any kind is just so much different. And you ever seen, so,
you ever seen those YouTube videos where they take the laugh tracks out of Seinfeld and it's just really awkward? I mean, it's kind of like that, right? Where you take laugh tracks out of something, you don't know quite when to laugh, or you watch something funny alone, you don't know when to laugh versus watching it with a friend. So maybe, yeah, maybe I'll mix it a little different where the audience laughs a little louder or something.
Yeah, laugh tracks would be a great idea. Yeah.
Hey, can you get me the person who does Big Bang Theory laugh track? They are fucking killing it over there.
So great, yeah.
No, let me ask you this. So the... is the special gonna be sound, like, is it the exact audio from the album also?
Oh yeah, I think I hooked you up with those guys to get the audio from them, right?
Yeah, 800 pound gorilla,
yeah.
But then did you take it all from one show, or did you combine shows at all for the album, or did you just pick
just
one
show? Yeah, Everett was perfect, basically. I forgot one line on a joke, kind of, but I was like, whatever, I'll just use it later.
Got it.
Is the line of like, I used to be embarrassed that I smoked pot until I started touring and I realized how popular OxyContin is. And I'm like, God, such a perfect little laugh right there. But
that line, you know, will work for
I'll
years
have more
and years
pot
and
jokes.
Years.
It's fine.
Luckily.
Yeah, yeah.
In
we're going to be good.
That work forever.
Well, I may have to update the reference to whatever new pill is destroying America, but we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
Yeah, just use fentanyl.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that was
well, fentanyl is more accidentally popular, from what I think I understand.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, so you're home. Do you go out and about to do this work, or is it mostly local?
It depends. I travel when I'm paid to, right? So that's kind of like my rules. I've gotten. I'm 32 now, which that's not old, but I just figure like I don't want to go to a city unless I'm getting paid to do it. So like I went to New York last year to shoot a dance film, like right in the middle of the pandemic. We went and shot a dance film out on Coney Island, and then I got to go sightsee for a day in New York, and there was like seats on the subway, and I got to go to like the Comedy Cellar. Well, I got to go look outside of the Comedy Cellar. That was
yeah, Corey won't go to a city unless he's being paid $100, and then he'll buy a $300 plane ticket.
There you go. I don't know. I have some dumb rules that I like to go by. Like I don't get up in single digits unless I'm getting paid triple digits. I don't like to, and I don't want to go travel to a place unless I'm getting paid or I'm going to at least break even. Like I'm going to go see my grandma next month, and I also planned a, she lives in Phoenix, and I also planned a shoot while I'm there so that I can get paid to go see my grandma.
Shooting grandma's OnlyFans.
See,
so what, you won't wake up at 1 p.m.? I don't understand the reference. Yeah.
No, I mean, I was just on a live stream this last, and it was like really early, you know, like 7 a.m. And I'm just not someone whose circadian rhythm, it likes getting up that fucking early. So, but it paid me enough where I'm like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. No problem.
Right, right.
But yeah.
I like to get up in single digits if it's out of the alley that I like that. Get myself home.
But I'll travel, but this line of work like doesn't have, like there's not really resumes, right? It's all word of mouth. And so like, people get a hold of me, a lot of my Instagram, they just see like clips and videos and stuff I'm tagged in, and they you know, they ask me to do stuff based off of that. But I've been kind of obsessed with comedy for years, you know, like years and years I've been obsessed with comedy, and my goal was to shoot a comedy special. So luckily Andrew was either smart enough or dumb enough to be my guinea pig for this. And
I mean, right timing, right place, right. I mean, my brother, I would have hired him, but he would have charged me double what you.
He would have charged
my brother.
He would have.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it would have been awful.
Yeah, and I gave Andrew a price break, because I told him it's like it's my first one, so I'm gonna probably have a couple things.
That was a price break. Holy shit!
Discount double, Brent.
I had to pay Oliver. I had to pay Oliver. I had to get some equipment rental, that kind of thing. You know, just the lights that we had behind you; those were not cheap, the Stereotubes. I mean, it's been a goal to do that. I've done so many like musicians and you know, dancers. I just like wanted to get more involved with comedians. And
not just sexually, but
not just sexually. No, but
well, you can do Corey anytime.
Yeah, I mean, Corey's pretty easy. It seems like.
Very.
His schedule and his asshole are wide open.
Truth hurts, Lizzo.
So does Brent's cock in your ass, but don't ask me how I know.
Not big enough to hurt anything.
Oh.
Did your nieces leave the room there, Andrew? I hope. Well,
yeah, I keep checking everyone. That's why I move, so no one surprises me in the door. I was gonna say I don't have sex with a girl if she's in single digits, but you know.
she's a seven or six.
If she,
or a
five, yeah, or four. Yeah. That's what I meant.
That's what you meant.
No, if she's got single digit drinks, she won't sleep with me. That's unless I pay her triple. I gotta buy her a triple.
I have a joke about that I forgot to put in. I forgot to say last week, and Corey called me out for not saying it. Where it's like I don't drink, so I'm kind of like making fun of people in this bit, and then I'm like, yeah, let me please poison you until you let me fuck you. It's like, can I at least find out what the beer to hole ratio is? Like, how many beers per hole do I need?
Right. Yeah.
Beer to hole ratio. All right.
I remember tooth to tit.
Yeah. we all start there. That's cute. I like it. Tooth to tit ratio is good. Classic. Yeah. What was the joke? Hooters of Montana. The stripper. It was a strip club in South Dakota. Anyway.
Whew. There's also the tit for tat joke. There's a comedian in Portland named Todd Armstrong.
Yep. Todd Armstrong. He's quit, I think.
He quit? What a fucking quitter.
I saw him do a festival recently, but he's got a baby and he's, you know, happy. He's
probably still doing the same jokes, so.
He got happy, so it's, you know, what are you going to do? Just keep doing comedy?
Everything. Vaginas and comedy crews.
Lucky.
getting happy ruins vaginas. I like it.
Having a baby.
So you're home. Andrew's in LA. I was just in Denver. You guys ever get drunk in Denver? Well, Brent, I know you don't drink right now, but
I used to, and I drank a lot in Denver. Yeah.
As the whole this altitude stuff is apparently a thing that really fucks you up.
Yeah.
And a day and a half into staying with my friends, they're like, "Oh yeah, you got to drink way more water here. you can't." And I was like, "You guys have been feeding me so much alcohol for free for a day and a half, and you didn't mention that." And they're like, "Well, you know, we don't remember, forget it." So I was, I was actually okay, but that first day was real rough. I was pretty hungover and figured it out, and then pounded some water. But Denver's a cool, great comedy town. We should rent a theater there for sure, Andrew. I think or something.
I mean, I'm. Yeah, pretty tired of comedy clubs, but a club is like, to me now, the idea of it is like, oh, you can go work it out at a comedy club and then
that's hilarious, yeah,
and rent a show and like, you know, like, you know, I don't know, like throughout my career I've seen different comedians in different phases, you know, or like open form and like, you know, it just all none of it seemed to matter really. Like, the club's gonna book who they're gonna book. It's not based on merit, right? Or like funny, no. Or like, you know, it's all about sales. So I'm, it's like, why not just focus up on that? Yeah, there's no like ladder that I thought like, yeah, once, I mean, there is like, hey, we'll give you $800 for a weekend, and you're like, great, it's sweet, you know. But
right
at a certain point, it's like, I'm trying to not be a broke ass bitch over here, so you know, I can't just steal $15,000 from the government like Corey over here, you know, go, it's for my art festival or whatever. But
we should talk about that. I applied for an Everett grant. The city is giving out money to anybody who is committed to anything that will bring art to the city, and so I told them I would like to bring a bunch of theater comedy shows to the historic Everett Theater, and I wanted $15,000 to do it. And then they
just
were like,
pick a number.
They were like, sure.
I'll keep
that. I filled out a whole business plan and a whole thing and a this and that and went down the whole road, and they go, yeah, you can have $15,000 for a season of comedy shows. So we'll do one. And
if you need any help with event production, I mean, that's what I've done for a long time too.
All right, we're on to something here. I'm excited about the idea. I mean, it's been 18 months not 18 months. Yeah. Yeah, of Emery's not happening, my show that I did monthly. So,
personal interests, watching the special, are there any, are there certain jokes that, do you have a favorite joke? Do you have a joke that you wish got cut? Do you have anything insightful to say about any of that?
Favorite from Andrew's set, not just the whole show, because I know you've
Yeah, I like Todd's set the most, so I don't Lisa's set was super solid.
The best parts, you should have seen it from the green room where you were. I can't imagine that you, when you're trying to film me the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I had to be down there with you. You're the one It's not where I was.
You've watched it more than anyone.
Yeah, so. You've seen it 17 times. You've had to sit through it. Are there some jokes that you think don't fit? Is it because to me, my only insecurity is that I didn't really get to run the full hour because of COVID, really. So, like,
yeah,
it was sort of designed like 10 to 15 minutes at a time. And then I'm like, I think this links with that and this links with that. And then combining it with, you know, sort of my old jokes that were pre-pandemic, you know?
Yeah, I think your brother was right about the NBA team ones. I think it has the bones to be a really good joke, but for some reason it just doesn't quite land. But the crowd laughed, right? So like it's there. But I really like the joke about mailing the weed.
Fantastic.
Like when you're talking to both your mom and your mom, you really do a great like impression of like your mom. And I can just imagine who she is as a person, you know, like from what you're doing. And it makes me kind of understand you more too. So it makes me more involved with your comedy from that point on. And I almost wish like that joke was earlier in the set, because then I'd be more involved with who you are as a person right from the get-go by knowing a little bit more about your mom. Cause you go, you know, into that stuff. And then.
And imagine if I had opened with my joke about his mom that I'd tell, and you just really, know a lot of
you really get to know her, you know. He could have pulled the screen down, showed some photos.
Honestly, the rest of it is so polished, and all your segues work super well, and your callbacks are fantastic, and like the crowd's with you and they understand. You don't wait too far, you don't wait too long for your callbacks. Your segues are really smooth. You're really self-deprecating, but you actually have like a strange amount of confidence in like what you're doing. So it's
it's strange.
That's what I like to hear.
No sense.
You have like that.
This is very strange, but
it seems like you have like nervous energy left there, right? Like, oh, hi, I'm Andrew Rivers, but really you're really confident in the way you do things. But then you're also like, I haven't been laid in this long, you know? So it's like there's a lot of that going on, but it works for you. I think it's just super smooth. Like I said, I've been a fan of, I hate saying this because I'm on your fucking podcast, but I've been a fan of your comedy since, you know, I saw you at Laughs. You know, I was like, oh, this
yeah,
actually really fucking solid. And I hadn't seen anybody from Seattle like slay it there, right? Like I've seen Nikita Oster, I like him a lot, and I've seen him do that kind of stuff, but he has like a very sullen, slow vibe, but I like his comedy. And there's been a few people there I've seen that are good, but you came in and it was like, you were like an out of town comic that was booked for the weekend, but you're from Seattle. And I was like, oh shit, there's good comedians in Seattle. This is great. And then I met Corey and I was like, there's still just one good comedian in Seattle.
Very excited.
Actually, I think Corey has a really smooth delivery.
Corey's a great performer. That's the thing I'm a little jealous of. He's really a good animated faces and act outs, and you know, the jokes leave a lot to be desired. But you gotta make it somewhere.
I mean, you can't be everything, you know.
Really slick jokes, and his wordplay is really good, and his alliteration. And I like, I just think Corey's really confident in his skin when he's up there, and I like your little jokes in your face. You'll go like, you finished it a lot. It's so
like the gay shit.
Or like that joke. You didn't do it in this special that I filmed, but you did it the night before, which was, it really made me sad that you didn't do it. But it was that joke where you teach high school students yoga and they're doing downward facing dog. And you have to do backwards facing teacher.
It's a gray line. It's a gray line.
Fucking line.
Gray line.
Brilliant.
I don't know. Proud of it.
This is a brilliant, this is probably the best joke you've ever written, Corey.
Because it shows that you're not a creepy teacher. It's fantastic. It's good.
Not evidence. You know what's so funny is how people get nervous about that joke just because you're talking about it at all. And you're like, I'm telling you that I am aware that it's not a good idea to be, whatever, but it doesn't matter. People don't, there's no.
Yeah.
Keep going. What other compliments do you have for Corey? That's the whole reason we brought you on this podcast is suck my dick for me because it's been a while.
Get someone under him.
What was really cool about meeting both of you this year was, like, I think some of the reason I even took this comedy class because Corey begged me to when we were playing golf. He's like, please, please, please. And like, I'm sucker for that. I'm a sucker for when someone begs me to do things. It's been cool to see how you guys are, like, in just outside of comedy, like a little bit. Like I've hung out with Corey a little more than Andrew because Andrew's just a big timer and he's always gone. But like when he came over here and we just like chatted up when I was doing photo shoots and stuff with him for his OnlyFans. And it seemed like you guys have like a it's cool to see that you guys have like a persona you put on stage, but it's also exactly who you are at the same time. And it makes me like understand like what I would want to be as a comedian. Where I'm like, okay, I want to be like a version.
That's interesting.
But I like that you guys have this, like, you know, you both know you're good at what you do, but you're also self-deprecating and like, and you don't have that vibe. Like I'm really fucking good. You don't like, you're not cocky about it. And I feel like, especially I work with a lot of musicians and the worst, I'm not going to call anybody out individually, but I'm going to say like the worst attitudes I've seen are the mid-level ones that are just starting to find success. Right. So they have this like vibe to them that's very, like, don't you know who I am? But the coolest musicians I've met are the ones that are either like just starting out or they're really famous and they're super comfortable with who they are and they're humble, but they know they're good, right? They know they're good at what they do and they have a very specific way of doing it. And you both have that vibe, you know? Like when I play golf with Corey, we get paired with random people on the golf course. He's never the one to say like, I'm a comedian, by the way, you should check out my stuff. It takes like a long time. They're like, I had to bring it up one time. They're like, what do you do? And I told them, they're like, what does he do? I'm like, oh, he's a comedian. They're like, oh, really? And he goes, yeah, man, that's what I do. You know, it's like,
you'll learn if you continue that talking about it doesn't really lead to anything good. People is never like, oh, I'm going to come to your show tonight. Like, it's never that. So it's usually like, tell me a joke or like, what kind of stuff do you talk about? Or like what, you know,
who writes your stuff?
Andrew. But, and then, so it's just not worth bringing up in a lot of casual environments, but sometimes it's like, what are you gonna, you know, like, where was I? Oh, my brother is fucking annoying, but like, we're at a party with his neighbors and he, one of his neighbors he's like friends with Ahmed, who's a comic.
I know that.
And so we kind of are chatting and my brother, I just showed him my new white noise machine joke and he loved it. And he goes, tell Ahmed your joke. I'm like, that's poor taste in a environment like this. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to perform bits for you. Yes. My brother's the worst person on earth, but, and he keeps trying to set me up with like, you know, he lives in LA. So there's all these, Eddie Ift is like his neighbor and his kids hang out. And so he's like, you should come and meet Eddie. And I'm like, he's not gonna like, you know, I don't know what you think's going to happen, but bringing up a comment. And my brother was like trying to like justify, you know, people will be like, oh, are you doing like gigs down here? And I'm like, ah, yeah, just this club in Ventura. And my brother's like, he just did it. It's like beneath him, but he just did it to like visit. I'm like, I can handle this, you know, like I know you're big brother and you want to protect me and, you know, but like, I know how to have this conversation with people. So,
that all makes sense. I mean, it definitely does, but I mean, I guess I've just never hung out with like legit comedians that can actually put asses in seats, right? Like I've hung out with quite a few in different situations that are just trying stuff out, but you guys, like, it's really cool to see. I mean, obviously I listen to a fuck ton of comedy and I know that, you know, the object of it is to make it seem like you're kind of just talking, but really you've been writing this shit for a long time, right? And especially taking like Corey's class, which I'm just gonna plug real quick, was way more in depth than I could have expected, right? Like,
yeah,
way, way more in depth. And I've been told like, don't take comedy classes, they're bullshit, they're a waste of money. It's not fucking true. Corey's is actually really fucking solid. I have like a notebook that I'm just taking like pages of notes. He has really good slideshows and I love a good slideshow. He's got just he knows how to break a joke down, and then he knows how to help you trim the fat in the correct way. He teaches you, you know, like what a premise really is, not just vaguely what a premise is, and how to get through things and to a punchline and tag those things in a really good way instead of just really cheesy shit. You know, like I've seen comedy classes on YouTube or whatever and check them out, and just really cheesy bullshit. And Corey goes dark with it. You know, he'll lean into the really funny stuff, and it's just really fun to be around that.
What if you could put
what I could do with my act?
I wonder if you could put some kind of like a teaser or something on YouTube or something for your class.
I'm so hesitant about the whole, you know, I like kind of the
privacy
where we, what we kind of what we found. Because I don't want to be like, the comedian, you know,
Because I was actually, it's funny you brought that up. I was like planning a post later, probably once we did our show, of like, because I was just telling, I don't know who, but like five different people I worked with, and they're like asking me comedy questions. And I'm like, my buddy does this class and it's on Zoom now, so I think you should just take it. Like, my buddy Dave Neal is a comic, and he's kind of new at comedy, I guess, but he's been doing it a while, but he just is, I don't know how to, you know.
He's got a big YouTube thing going too.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's got other priorities, but I was, you know, he hosted for me, and he's got a good understanding of like what jokes are and like how to do them, but just needs to take it to like that next level. And I was like, dude, hook up with Corey and take his class. Like it's really good. I always joke around that, like, when I started teaching the class with Corey, it was mostly because I lived halfway between his house and the comedy club. And then like, I didn't really know what was going. I didn't know any of the, he didn't send me any materials before the class. I was just kind of like up there winging it. And I was like, hey, he's got some good points up here, you know? And then after a while you're teaching the stuff to other people and you're like, wait, am I doing that? You know? And like, some of this basic stuff, you know, and I really like credit Corey for helping me get to a higher level, because, you know, what are we doing? 3 classes a year or whatever. So
yeah,
like,
we did like a quarterly. So we almost did 4.
Yeah. So like 3 or 4 times a year, I'm like going over the very basic fundamentals of comedy and having to teach it to other people and having to tag shitty jokes. And it's like, it really helped me develop, like, you know, when I'm writing my own stuff, I'm like, oh, I've done better with less, you know? So like, this is a premise I believe in, and I've helped these other comics with their shit jokes, and you know, surely I can do something. So look out for
I didn't expect, like, you know, I thought it was just going to be like, these are jokes, and then he helps you like kind of rewrite them. And
the format, I mean, it's really like,
you know the rules, and then you can break them, right? Just like with
yeah,
you learn like music theory. It's like
someone wrote that in my book one time, something about learn the rules and then break them or something. So that's a really cool little quote.
And I've had an insane amount of notes on my phone from like years, just. Like, you can't see it, but it just goes forever, right? Just so much shit, and it's all fucking premises that I don't have any fucking punchlines for. like, I do, but they're not, like, they're in the right way. And now,
right,
like, structured through Corey, it's like, and now it's making me listen to my favorite comedians in a different way, too, right? Like, we both love, like, Tommy John again, and I hear the way that he does stuff, and it's fucking incredible. Like, Corey called him the king of metaphors, and I'm like, absolutely is. And I just didn't think of it that way before. I couldn't really.
You sort of matrixy see the code, and then you're like, oh, that's how that works. You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And that's a lot of the reason I took the class too, is like hoping.
And that'll ruin some comedy for you too, because you'll be like, this is a cheap joke here, or this is a, you know.
I've been listening.
I even think of my own sets sometimes where I'm like, I'm just filling this, hope nobody notices.
No former students are fans of my comedy. I learned too much.
It started with me when my grandparents loved watching the fucking blue collar comedy tour shit when I was a kid. Yeah. And the only comedian I liked at all out of any of them was Ron White. I didn't know why I liked him better than the rest. I hated the Here's Your Sign. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, you piece of shit. And then Jeff Foxworthy, like his early stuff.
My favorite comic in middle school, but it's a different time. Yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy was was funny when back in the day when he was dirtier, but then he just turned into that bullshit tagline of his. And then fucking Larry the Cable Guy, I'm not going to say a word about that. But then Ron White, he just got up there with some whiskey, got drunk throughout the show, and he was just so naturally funny, and you could tell like he didn't really want to be there, but he was making a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And that set me on the path of like, why do I like him?
Yeah.
What else?
And that's a good sort of description of like, because a lot of other people write his material, but he, but through his voice is way fun, you know, through his persona is much funnier than Nancy Reed, you know, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I've wondered why I like those comedians that just seemed more natural, right? Like a Tommy Jonigan or Rory Scoville, right? Like, why did I like them? Or Birbiglia or John Mulaney? Like, why do these people, or like Kyle Kinane, specifically Kyle Kinane, like, why does it sound so just naturally good coming through their voice? Like, they found their niche and the way they do things, and they're so comfortable in their skin, and it just makes it so much better versus comedians that aren't as comfortable, and it kind of like makes me not like them as much, you know.
Well, illusion of spontaneity helps a bunch, and it's hard to do that. I mean, it's not natural. It's, you know, you can work on it, but there is something to it being a little bit natural too. We took you right up to the time where you needed to be off, and it turns out that's the same time I need to bounce. So
I need to get off also.
We're gonna end on you
if
guys.
If anyone's listening to this and wants to get me off, Andrew
we're
J. Rivers.
We're gonna end on you guys wetting my whistle, and Andrew's gonna hope that someone wets his whistle, and whistleblower, Facebook hey. Whistleblower. If you need one, I need a whistleblower. All right, let's. Let's do this again in person here soon. Maybe we'll get Andrew on the golf course. That'd be fun.
Oh, God, that is a disaster.
Let's film it. And
I'll quit.
Teach you how to golf, maybe. That'd be fun. All right, this has been great. Andrew is Andrew J. Rivers on all the things. I'm Corey Michaelis on comedy on all the things. The podcast is homeschool, and it is on all the things too, but you know, Patreon, that'd be great if you're on Patreon, and we'll get some shit together on that and figure our lives
someday
out.
Someday.
Brent is what are you on all the things?
At Brent James Driscoll on everything.
All right, lovely having you. Thanks so much, man. And
having me on, guys. I'm only two classes into a stand-up comedy class, and now I'm on like a real comedy podcast.
Really cool. Well, don't get your hopes up, nobody listens, so
bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Thanks so much.